I'm going to do, I've got about, I probably have six versions of She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain When She Comes, Honolulu, Acapulco. You know, it depends on what banquet I'm doing, you know. That's really how I did the Coming Around Honolulu. I was doing a Hawaiian type banquet, and I thought, I got to get something written, so I did that. Probably my favorite of all the Coming Around the Mountain renditions I do, and I've never recorded this. I think I will one of these days, hopefully, if I don't die. I'd like to do, I've got what I've done for teens. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. Yo, babe. You know. So I'm going to teach it to you. It's pretty funny. It's a nice one. So here's how we start. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. You got to, you know, it's, you can do the yo-yo dog-dog thing if you want, but just one hand. Get your hand up like this. Get your hand up and try to be cool even if you aren't. Go, yo, babe. Let me hear it. Ready? Yo, babe. A little more gangsta. Yo, babe. Here we go. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming around. Ma'am, would you hurry up and eat your food? We're trying to sing here and go. Ma'am, please eat quicker, please. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. Yo, babe. She'll be coming around the mountain. Help me. Coming around the mountain. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. The next one, she'll be cruising in her Beamer when she comes. You all know what a Beamer is? It's this. Nice car, okay? Get your hands up, ready? Nice car. One we can't afford. She'll be cruising in her Beamer when she comes. Nice car. She'll be cruising in her Beamer when she comes. Nice car. She'll be cruising in her Beamer. What? Well, cruising in her Beamer when she comes. Nice car. You're good. Okay. Now, we'll kill the old red rooster when she comes. I know where I am. I am in the midst of the Michigan militia. Okay, I know. Everybody's probably packing in this place. I was up in northern Michigan, and they had a hunters club meeting after. Nobody left. They were all ladies, guys. I mean, this church about 125, 50 people. And come to find out, most of them were packing even during the services. They had no hesitation on that. Just hope I didn't make anybody upset, okay? But, you know, this is a reality. We'll kill the old red rooster when she comes. Okay, together, ready? Yeah, here we go. Well, we'll kill the old red rooster when she comes. Yeah, we'll kill the old red rooster when she comes. Yeah, we'll kill the old... Ma'am, are you having trouble with that? Yeah. Well, kill the old red rooster. Help me. Well, we'll kill the old red rooster when she comes. The food slows you down a little bit, okay? Now, if you shoot a chicken with a shotgun through the whole meal, you'll be doing this. Ding. Let me hear it. Ding. A little louder on up. Ding. Okay, here we go. Cause we'll have chicken and dumplings when she comes. Yeah, we'll have chicken and dumplings when she comes. Yeah, we'll have chicken and dumplings. What? Well, we'll have chicken and dumplings when she comes. Ding. Nice car. All right, the last one. She'll have to sleep with Grandma when she comes. Now, let's all admit, grandmas are the most precious commodities known to mankind. I know we even have some probably here in our midst, even though you look younger than that. offering. Always think about the offering. But, you know, in all honesty, and that's what we're doing in this weekend together here. You know, as Grandma gets older, she starts falling apart. Y'all with me? I mean, it just happens. It's the reality of life. And let's say little Susie has an opportunity. She's excited. You know, she's going to have her first sleepover with Grandma. But that could be a very traumatic experience. You know, they get ready to go to bed, and Grandma pulls out her teeth, you know. She takes off her hair. She unhooks her left wooden leg here and, you know, her right eyeball. That could scare a child to death. Are you with people? So here's what we're going to do. She'll have to sleep with Grandma when she comes. This group over here, which is smaller number, but loud in volume opportunity. I've been around them enough. This group over here says, no way, ma'am. Go ahead and chew it. Go ahead. No, because I know volume is great where thou comest from, okay? So this side over here, in spite of the one that's got a mouthful, say, no way, real loud. Ready? No way. And this group says, no how.
No how.
And then we all go, uh-uh. Like that, okay? Let's do it. A little sassy. Uh-uh. Okay, here we go. What's this group? What's this group? All together? All right, here we go. Well, she'll have to sleep with Grandma when she comes.
No way, no how.
Yeah, she'll have to sleep with Grandma when she comes.
No way, no how.
Yeah, she'll have to sleep with Grandma. Help me. Well, she'll have to sleep with Grandma when she comes. No way, no how. Ding. Give yourself a hand. Good job. That was good. You did a nice job. You're not even teenagers. You did a good job. Now, if you do have my CD back there, it's just fun stuff. I took about this amount of people and stuffed them into a recording studio in Greenville, South Carolina. And they were all very rowdy people and very enthusiastic, to say the least. Well, what I'm doing before I'm doing this CD, I'm trying to write some new material so I can fill the CD up. And one of the new songs I just had written, and I'd done it for my wife and maybe two or three people at a time, but I'd never done it in a big crowd. So I'm here with these rowdy people who are overly enthusiastically involved on this recording. You can hear it on that. I mean, what we did is what you get on that recording. And I did this for the first time. It's called Staying in the Doghouse. Now, what happens as far as your part and where they got so tickled was every time I say Fido or doghouse, I had them all howl like a dog. So we're going to try that, okay? I've been able to do this for a while. So I say Fido, howl like a dog. Go, oh, yeah. Or how about doghouse? Roar, 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 roar. You know, whatever. Just give me a howling dog sound when we do that. So let's practice. Fido. Doghouse. You got it. All right, here we go. Chihuahua. Okay, okay. I better do this. Sorry, yeah. There was a guy on the recording. He sounded like such a chihuahua. And I said, man up, boy. I want a man dog sound here. Okay, okay. Our first anniversary, Bob, bathroom scale. I said, you've gained a pound or two as far as I can tell. Well, then she started crying and smashed that brand new scale. Now I got me a new roommate with a bushy wagon tail. Move over, Fido. Your master's moving in. I just don't understand how I got back here again. My wife says I'm clueless on how to treat a spouse. Unless I get this figured out, I'll be staying in the doghouse. Can you imagine? Okay, here we go. My wife is always saying that I am such a slob. And keeping our house clean is such a difficult job. So I bought a brand new sweeper, a birthday delight. Don't go there, guys, okay? Now I'm sharing fleas and doggy treats with Fido every night. Move over, Fido. Your master's moving in. I just don't understand how I got back here again. My wife says I'm foolish on how to treat a spouse. I still don't have, unless I get this figured out, I'll be staying in the doghouse. I don't care what I always lose my concentration on this because I'm listening to you more than what I'm supposed to be doing, okay. Now everybody's happy, my wife, Fido, and me. I finally figured out just how it needs to be. Now please don't get me wrong, I'm still a normal spouse. I still don't have a clue, I just build a bigger doghouse. Move over, Fido, your master's moving in. I just don't understand it, how I got back here again. My wife says I'm clueless on how to treat a spouse. Unless I get this figured out, I'll be staying in the doghouse. Unless I get this figured out, I'll be staying in the doghouse. Give us up a hand. Nicely done. I don't think I've done that in 100 years, but I'm sitting in my room today just laughing at myself as I'm practicing this. The neighbors hate me. Okay, I'm a little froggy, but let's do the chorus against the Lord is there. When every day awakens, the Lord is there. When in life you feel forsaken, in the loneliness of night, or when hope eludes your sight, the Lord is there.
He's always there.
He will never forsake his own. And again, that's really the heart of what we're doing here. You're not without hope and help through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't allow your flesh to do its foolish thing. You've just got to say, what is it? No flesh, yes God. No, but I like it. I want it. No flesh, yes God. That is the start of victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Now, I was giving you the warnings here, and I don't think I have ever preached this particular material at any family camp or couples retreat I've done. And what you do when you're preparing for things like this, and I do a ton of them, you know, I just gather quotes and, you know, little pithy sayings and nuggets and try to assemble those, you know, and then present them in a very helpful, memorable way. Because I know you're taking notes, and hopefully if you go and review later on, these nuggets or just very precise notes will come to the surface and give you something to hang your hat on as far as decisions are concerned. So this is how I'm going to do as far as this particular last challenge of the afternoon. They're just some good statements I'm going to give you. Then I'll give you a five-pointer as far as an outline to write down. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and hearts and ask God to give us alertness. You know, it is afternoon. Sometimes it's nap time during this time of the day for some of us. But let's go ahead and pray and ask God to give us physical awareness and alertness as well as spiritual as we do this last session here today. Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you, Lord, for the fun we've had. And Lord, how you've blessed us and you've worked in our hearts. And Lord, just thank you for your goodness. Lord, I hope no one here regrets the effort or just goes, oh, brother, I'd rather be home a lazy boy. Well, that could just be the flesh talking, but I hope they were refueled. I pray they were refreshed in their understanding of the truths of the Word of God. As I told them, Lord, this is not new material. It's just stuff we don't remind ourselves of. It's stuff many times we don't put down as far as our application of life is concerned. And Lord, I pray that the check and recheck has been done even in the short time we've had together. Now, Lord, the excitement I have in my heart, and hopefully they do too, we've got tomorrow and go for three more sessions as far as challenge from your blessed word. So God, through your Holy Spirit, illumine our minds. God, awaken us to your truth, direct us unto Jesus to be more like him, to do more for him, to bring more glory and honor to his name. So thank you, Lord, again, for the right choosing of these people and, Lord, for your love for us. And again, that blessed presence of your working that we hope to experience in this session. We love you, Lord, and thank you now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here's some stuff. Again, these are just kind of random quotes and stuff that I've found. Some of them you'll know if you've been to any kind of couples retreat or you've studied this out yourself. But one man put it this way. He says, marriage is a three-legged race. And here's number one. It says, make plans to get away, to dream, to plan, refresh, and refuel. That's kind of what we're doing here. You know, it's fun for you to go take a trip together and again, just renew that romance and relationship together. That's just a needed thing. Had an old boy in my church. His name was Jim Fought. He's in the presence of the Lord right now. And Jim, he said this to everybody, any couple all the time, especially younger couples, never stop dating your wife. That was his pet phrase. That's a good one to not just know about, but use yourself. Because what happens in a dating relationship? Well, you're wooing that person, hopefully winning that person, and you're doing it because you're wowed by that person. Is that a good outline? Yeah, you're pursuing with energy and excitement that relationship. After a while, it's gone, yeah, I told you I love you when we got married. And that's, I'm sad and sorry to say, but that happens way too much, even in so-called good marriages or so-called godly marriages, where you just take each other for granted. Instead of being thankful and wowed by the blessed privilege of what God's put together. This is of God. God puts it together. God keeps it together. Amen. And praise God, we're along for the ride. But if something's missing, then make sure you find it and put it in the operation of your relationship together. You know, if you guys are looking over the fence at someone else that's like 10 or 20 years younger, well, no wonder your marriage is not satisfying. You're prone to wander. And because of your wandering, you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And I'm telling you right now, for sure, your sin will find you out. You'll start making choices of thought that will lead to wrong choices as far as activity is concerned. And again, Pastor and I could do this, and I wouldn't do it because I'd be embarrassed. I hear horror stories. And are you kidding me stories? I had a guy in my church. This just came to my mind, so sometimes that's not good. But I think this one is. They tried to run me off in the church that I had planted. We grew from 50 to 175 in 1 year. Now, you know how that church grew? Soul winning. Now, we rescued some sheep. You know what? You get bad mouthed. You say you're stealing from other churches. No, you're rescuing from other churches. There are churches that don't preach the Word of God faithfully. That's not sheep stealing. That's rescuing from my perspective. But folks, we were hopping and we were getting it done. It was so exciting to be a part of. But it came from the point of the excitement of a new church, all this going on, to where now they had to start growing and be fundamental Bible-believing people. I inherited like 50 Southern Baptist folks that didn't have a clue what it meant to be a fundamental Bible-believing church. And when they started hearing what that was all about, they weren't happy campers. Y'all with me? So now they got a nice building. You know, beautiful building. And, you know, we got a good congregation working here. And now let's get rid of the preacher. Because, you know, we're going to run the church. You're just going to be, you know, the front guy. And you know what I told those people? I said, boy, that'd be easy. Wouldn't that be easy? Yeah, I'll just sit back, you know, and I'll just preach. You guys, you know. But you know what? That's not biblical. And that's what I told them, shaking in my ever-loving boots. And they were real nice when they got in carnal mode. One guy wanted to kill me. Well, what happened in the midst of they were trying to bring accusations against me in a church meeting. It's like a NASCAR race. Everybody comes for the wreck. Y'all with me here? I mean, people came that hadn't been to church for a year, people. They're coming going, yeah, got popcorn, you know, we got waving the banners here, you know, up for Andretti, you know, yeah, whatever. That's not NASCAR. But Earnhardt. So what happened was the spokesman for this guy, for this situation, was a union negotiating representative for the local electricians. He's a big, important sort of guy that was very gifted with verbiage. And he was the guy bringing accusations to get me. You know what they're upset about? I lost a receipt, a packing list. That's worth dismissing a preacher. The other thing was, you know, I was driving on a dealer's plate. My dad owned a car dealership. They weren't paying me enough to have my own car, so I'm driving one of my dad's. And they were, I mean, just petty stuff like that. Well, what happened as far as this scenario is concerned, I had to deal with these people in their marriage relationships. You hear me? I knew stuff that I could have embarrassed about all of them with the carnal, ungodly choices they've made even in the past year or so. One particular couple, I got a call, and the wife was in the bathroom looking to kill herself. This is one of the big leaders here. And the husband's out, said, I just let her die. Just let her kill herself. You know, I'm trying to talk her out of it. And he just, can y'all see how that dumbness can come? And folks, it happens. You know, you say that'll never happen to us. Take heed ye stand, lest ye fall. Don't climb up on your little pious horse and think you're beyond your flesh taking over doing its destructive thing. I don't care if it's that preacher or me. The temptations never stop. The devil still is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He sets me up like you would not believe. And he's going to set you up. And he knows right where to press your button. And whether it's man, woman, or child. So one way to defeat that temptation, what it may be, is never stop dating your wife, your husband, and just be blessed, wild, and thankful for what God has entrusted to you. Here's the second thing in the three-legged race. Focus on pleasing your spouse. Now, this will sound like I'm tooting my own horn, which I am, but in a humble fashion, okay? This is one of my goals of life. I tell my wife all the time, honey, my life revolves around making you happy. Not regretfully. That's truly a burden of my heart. I want my wife to be fulfilled in a physical way. I want her to be fulfilled in a spiritual way. I want her to enjoy us together. And I tell you what, I work on that all the time. Now, I have, you guys don't know my wife. She is the sweetest, nicest person you would ever want to be around. But as I mentioned yesterday, I still want to kill her half the time. And you know, what gets in the way? What gets in the way of the goal that I've established in my heart? Someone I love more than I love my wife. That's me. Now, if you can't admit that, you're in a peck of problems. Because we all love ourselves way too much. And that can get away in the way of any goal that we're there to set forth as far as victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. So make sure you focus on pleasing your spouse. Girls, I know he's a dork, okay? I know he's got all these little this, that's, and the other, but you know what? You still need to love him and just help him and encourage him. And don't live your marriage. What? This is parenting as well as marriage. This guy showed me this one time. This is good. Don't live your marriage like this. Or your parenting like this. Do it like this. There's a big, big difference. And I didn't start with where I was going to start, and I'm going to go there after I do these 3 points. But the third one, as far as the three-legged race, is this. Make forgiveness a non-negotiable in your relationship. You know, I don't know if you've ever done the Thetic counseling training or heard of it. Well, one of them is don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, deal with today's problems today. Why? Because tomorrow has enough problems of their own. You know, how many times have couples gone to bed like this, watch me now, instead of like this? And again, dealing with what should be dealt with today. Because I'm telling you, if the devil can get your fire lit in the wrong way, he's going to fuel the fire the next day. And when you don't deal with it, you get a kind of an armament for the next, you know, unhappy moment of life that you bring out to try to blow the marriage apart. And you don't want to go there and do that. Take your Bibles. I'm only doing one verse in this whole session because the quotes and stuff are biblical principles, but this, it all revolves around this. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 and go down with me, if you would please, to verse 32. In verse 32, I hope you have this memorized. At least if you don't, you should. And you should sooner than later for your kids' sake, for your mate's sake, and for your local church's sake and just your ministry in general. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. What's the example? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I write kids songs. I at least have ideas of kids songs all the time. And you know, a lot of you have already picked that up. But I wrote a new one called Let's Just Be Nice. It goes, let's just be nice and kind to one another. Let's just be nice, for soon you will discover some people will be mean and weirder than you've ever seen. Let's just be nice and kind to one another. Yeah, that's not just a good song for kids. That's a good song for us adults. And when I get it done, I'm sending it to Washington, D.C. So there's our hub verse to hang the truths upon as far as the challenge of this hour, again, marriage priorities. Let's go back to these statements here. Now, this is again, none of this is mine. I'll tell you right now, I picked this off of this book and that quote and that internet, whatever. So I'm not trying to, you know, say this is my creativity here. Divorce is not an option. If divorce or separation is not an option, then the only option left is working through the issues. Let me say that again. If divorce and separation is not an option, then the only option left is working through the issues. And he said, isn't that a novel idea?
Yeah,
you know, a lot of guys, and good guys, good theologically brainiac boys, have different approaches to divorce and remarriage. My thoughts on this are based on, hey, what does marriage represent? Christ and his church. And that can't be unbroken. That's eternal. So I kind of go from that position to establish what I do in the matter of that situation. Now, if you've gone through divorce, that doesn't mean you're not going to be used of God ever again. You get the dirty divorcee mindset. I fought through that with my brother's been married 3 times. Okay, he just ain't real good at choosing. Y'all with me here? Or fixing what's broken. But my brother, he's 3.5 years older than me, loves Jesus as much as anybody on the face of the earth. I just was with him before I drove up here. And you know what? He's very faithful. He wins people to Jesus. But he just made some goofball wrong choices in his relationship situation. But he's, again, going forward and trying to be faithful even in the midst of the dumb choices he's made. So, you know, I'm not a basher here as far as that concerned. You can deal with that with pastor and kind of work through those flesh excuses and blame shifting if you want to. Not go there and do that. But divorce is not an option. Let's work through it through God's mercy, power, and grace. Here's another good statement. This is an oldie, but it's a goodie. We do what it takes to keep your marriage fresh and alive. Now, here's the one you know. Marriage isn't what we can get out of it. Remember the rest? But what we, what? Put into it. Some of you are writing that down, so let me do it again. Marriage isn't what we can get out of it, but what we can put into it. Here's another one. This is a parenting thing as well as a marriage statement. We're right there together, and I thought they're both very familiar, hopefully. Don't be satisfied with having good kids. The goal is to have godly kids. Some of you new Christians may need to hear that. Well, I got good kids. Well, yeah, I got good kids, but a couple of them aren't where they should be for the Lord. Y'all with me? I love them. You know, I'll fight you for them. You know what? I'm proud of their successes, but I'm also saddened in heart because they're not getting all they need to get and do all they're supposed to do for Jesus. You know, I've got my youngest son. You know, right now he's in a major struggle. He's just got a dead end life. Goes to work, comes home, single. You know, and he just needs Jesus. That's all it is. He just needs to give instead of always just go to get. And if you get into that frame of mind, no wonder you're depressed, discouraged, want to throw in the towel. Okay. So the goal is not just to have good kids, but godly kids. And here's the statement that goes with that as far as marriage. Marriage. Don't be satisfied that you have a good marriage. The goal is a God-honoring marriage. Have you ever heard that one? Yeah. The goal is a God-honoring marriage. Now, again, I could go on and on and on, but I want to get to these 5 priorities. And again, I've got this out of someone else's book or whatever, but I thought it was good enough to present today. So, first of all, priority number one, and this is really what we dealt with yesterday, discover God's design for marriage. As I just mentioned, even with the topic of divorce, it's Christ and the church. That's the picture, or that's the, again, relationship model that we're supposed to, again, understand as far as our relationship as husband and wife. Here's a statement. God designed marriage so he gets to define it. It's warped today. It's defiled today as far as the description of marriage, the options there and thereof. but they're still not biblical, so they're still not right. So again, God designed marriage, so he designed marriage so he gets to define it. So our job is what? To trust him, obey him, and then watch him work. You know, it's amazing when you get right with God, how God is alive, well, and active in your life. Now, he's always there. You just got your eyes open. Your heart's just tender to his ever-present help. You're not just looking at him. You're leaning on him. Y'all with me? And you realize, I am worthless. I am undone. I'm just useless without the intervening power and wherewithal of my God. So priority number one, discover God's design for marriage. Secondly, priority number two, commit to a covenant marriage, not merely a business contract where if you don't like the product, you change companies. Your wife's not a commodity. She's your helpmate. She's your love, your life, your all as far as physical is concerned. Now, that's Jesus first and foremost, but that'll help you love Jesus. I mean, help you love your wife the way you need to love her and should love her if your love relationship's right with Jesus. That gets us back to that when Jesus ceases to be precious, man ceases to be faithful, like we talked about even yesterday. Marriage should reflect God's promise to us that he's always there. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And it reminds us the eternal relationship of faithfulness we have through our God. What makes a woman more insecure than the day is long? A husband that doesn't show that kind of affection or attention. And girls can tell, can't you, girls? You can tell when your husband's heart and mind is somewhere other than on you. And you go, oh, I'm all right. Hey, we're okay. I'm just busy here. I just got a lot of stuff I'm involved with. Never be too busy to not show the love and affection to your wife that you're supposed to show. I don't care how good it looks, how much money you're making. Losing your marriage isn't worth it. And you've got to make sure that adoration is not questioned. You know, that first love in your heart, you know, is not even on the screen as far as a representation in what you say, how you say it, and what you end up doing. Because you can tell from a husband's perspective or a wife's perspective whether that is true or not. Here's another good statement. In a covenant marriage, both spouses are committed for a lifetime in sickness and in health, for better or worse. They don't threaten to divorce or consider that even an option. That goes back to the statement we had earlier. This is just funny. It fits in real good. My pastor that I was staff evangelist under for 20 years was Bob Taylor. Now, you may know that name from Pensacola Christian College. He was campus pastor for 25 years. Well, I was blessed to be working there, staff evangelist, like I mentioned, for 20 years. Well, he has contracted MS. Now, the guy can still preach, but he can't walk real good. And he's still pretty sharp as far as his teaching and stuff. And he's getting up in age now. But when he retired a little younger than he was planning on, okay, and his wife said, preacher, I got a problem. She said, I married him for better or for worse, not for breakfast, lunch, and supper. You ever heard that before? Yeah. I don't want him around this much. Is this a pain or what, you know? And of course, we still laugh about that when we get together. But for better or for worse, and whatever, you know, situation that God orders up. They never thought, I mean, he used to be Mr. Athletic, golf guy, whatever, Mr. Perfection of Life. And, you know, he's debilitated. But she didn't just say, well, you're sick now, so go away. You know, I've seen that. Have you ever seen that in relationships? There was this gal that was at our church in Greenville, South Carolina. And she contracted, I mean, MS or something, but she was greatly debilitated. You know what her low-life husband did? He left her and went with a healthy woman. And just left her to fend for herself and the kids. Is that cheap shot, low rent, self-centeredness, or what? Now the gal's doing fine. She's a godly lady. She's got a support group through her mom and dad who have a ministry of themselves. But what a cheap shot. But I've seen it. Was it Cowboy Tom Williams that his wife was debilitated and in a wheelchair for years? Bud Winiger, who used to be at Maranatha. He had a church in Illinois, and then he went up to be the president of Maranatha. He faithfully loyally took care of his wife, and she was wheelchair bound. You know what? It's just, that's just the right choice. Because the ugly is going to come. You hear me? We all get deteriorated, as I mentioned. We all start getting old and smelling bad and looking bad. And all that just comes, people. Hang on for the joyous ride, you young couples. It gets really gross, okay? I just want you to know that so you could be encouraged this week. But it happens, you know? It's like that big fat guy I told you about. Yeah, my wife's getting fat. Well, and he said this. He said, she's not quite the same as she was when we got married. The guy was a bozo brain. He was a doofus. And he, again, just looking for an excuse to sin. And that's what you're doing. When you bypass what you know is exactly what God's ordered up and how to do this right, you just are a bozo brain. You just love yourself, and you're looking to make excuses to feed your disgusting, wicked, worthless flesh, period. Is that clear enough? Does that sound pastoral? Okay. Let's go to priority number three. Pursue a passionate marriage. I tried, but my wife won't kiss me like I want her to four times a day, you know, or what, you know. You know what? My wife and I haven't kissed for at least 12 years. No, just kidding. You know, if she wants to go sit in the back of the truck and neck for a while, you know what? She'd be so sore like I would. You know, we could, you know, what are we thinking here, you know? But there can still be passion without being, you know, weird, you know, or just trying to relive your high school romance or whatever, you wicked sinner, you. But folks, we're going to stick it out, and if you're doing it right, find a way to survive. Here is a good statement. I like this third point just because of this statement. Marriage should be a celebration, not an endurance race. Isn't that good? Write that one down, okay? That'll preach. Marriage should be a celebration, not an endurance race. Marriage has to be based on more than what the flesh has to offer. It has to be. Because again, the flesh is going to rot. It's going to be dysfunctional. And the relationship is based in Christ, through Christ, for Christ. And if it isn't there, you're going to depend on the fleshly whatevers instead of the relationship that, again, that you've been entrusted with that should glorify God. Again, reflecting the eternal communion and intimacy that we are supposed to have with God. I think, you know, that's a problem. Because most Christians I've met don't even have that. So they don't understand that intimacy that's available with Jesus. So where in the world are they thinking they're going to get that in a relationship with their mate? But that's what you need in Jesus. So you will make choices to please. When you really love your wife, it would kill you to break her heart. If you really love your husband, it would just make you just want to just throw up. If you disappointed him, that's the kind of intimacy you need with Jesus. And when you have that, talk about being wowed by the wonder of it all. Talk about a joyous thing to read your Bible, to be with God's people and local church, because you get to learn more about him. Remember what I said a few minutes ago? You learn more about him. Why? To be more like him. To do what? To do more for him. That's the program of right thinking and right faithful choosing. And let's go to number four, and then we'll head to the barn. Now, I heard, now maybe it's just a rumor, that every husband's taking their wife out to eat afterwards to the restaurant of their choice. And, you order, honey, anything you want, because that, and hey, you're in trouble, Bubba, okay, right now, because they're going to leave you in the car, okay? And they're just going to, they got rid of the baby, so they're going to be out till like 1 or 2 in the morning just celebrating here, okay? So the brother gets the short end of the stick again. All right, okay. But my date and I are going out to eat right here. I just love that guy. Okay, I love him. I love him. This is a bad connotation, but we're the blues brother. So, okay. You're Belushi. Okay, that's all there is to it. Okay. All right, for those on the recording, we both have blue shirts on. We're not, again, looking like we're thugs doing music gigs. Okay. Number four is this. There's a couple more. Number four priority, become heroic in your marriage. Now, let's not get weird about this. You don't go put on some Superman outfit or dress like Thor and come in going, here I am to save the day. Now, you old folks, where's that a quote from?
Mighty Mouse,
you are the man. Yeah. So, you know, you may have those kind of, you are the man. It's the only thing he's got right this whole weekend. I'm telling you what, I'm just, ding, 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 Pastor, way to go. All right. But you know what, folks? Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice to rescue us. So heroically serve one another, knowing the flesh and the devil is on the attack. And folks, he's not looking to merely wound you. I'm talking about the devil. He's looking to just devour and destroy you. And if he can get in your head and your heart, he's going to obliterate your marriage. So again, heroically, you know, through the power of God, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. You can't do this yourself. I'm telling you right now, you're doomed as doom could be if you say, I got this. Yo, I got this. You know what? You still don't get it, though. You can't, but you can through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Remember the statement? Anything God orders up, he'll give me the wherewithal to be faithful if I just choose to be faithful. And here's number five. Priority number five, fight for your marriage. Fight. Tooth and toenail fight for your marriage. Here's a good statement. Every couple will mess up, statement of fact. But too often, however, they choose to give up. Good statement. Every couple will mess up, but too often, however, they choose to give up. Here's another good statement. We can't escape the battles, but we can avoid defeat. That'll preach. You know, we can't escape the battles, but we can avoid defeat. Just as God stays faithful during our unfaithfulness and forgives us over and over again, that's the kind of faithfulness, that's the kind of forgiveness we need to have in our relationships one with another. And let's end with where we started. Let's just be nice. Kind to one another. People will be mean, weirder than you've ever seen, but let's just be nice. Where's that truth coming from? Well, the verse of this session. Let's be kind, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ. You understand what she did to me. You understand. Man, you know, he looks good here, but he's a mean guy at home. Well, stop it.
Amen.
Stop it. Quit blame shifting. Your blame shift. Well, she just sure teach me that the house is a mess. That the food's not ready when I come home. Well, bless your heart. Why don't you pick up the house? Why don't you come in and say, boy, you must have had a busy day, honey. Now, what have you been doing? Sitting around watching Oprah or Dr. Phil or something all oh, Fox News junkie sitting there watching coronavirus all day. You didn't get the house cleaned up. You try staying home with those monkeys and zoo animals all day long. See how your sanity holds up, okay? It's so funny. My son-in-law just a week ago, they have a 5,000 square foot home. They have 9 children. Okay, it's not big enough. I'm telling you now. But the basement has not been finished yet. So my very kind, talented son-in-law decided he was going to take a week off of work and go down with the kids and do the boys' basement. Death was on the horizon, people. Kylie said, I just dreaded this because he's gonna say, well, this we need to change this, we need to do this, we need to do that. You know, he had no concept that she has it under control. You do your job. You pray for me that I'll be faithful in mine and just encourage me. Don't cut my legs out from underneath me. Did I say that out loud? Yeah, I did. Y'all with me? He went a little overboard berserk and got a little frustrated, okay? But you know what? That's just your flesh again, and you can't let that dictate your conversation, let alone your choices of who you are and how you get things done. Be kind, tender-hearted. You blow it, you want people to forgive you. Well, when they blow it, why don't you practice what you preach and you forgive them? To what depth? as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you and forgiven me. You know what? It can get it done and get it done right if, again, you just choose to do it God's way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord, for this wonderful, wonderful time. I'd love to just keep going. I'm ready for about five more sessions here, but Lord, I know the body can only endure so much, and the brain also so much information in certain times and situations. So Lord, I pray that they'll sort all this through. I just hope they caught what you were throwing their way, especially in the matter of blame shifting. And Lord, these sweet nuggets of biblical truth that were just thrown at our feet. And again, filling our hearts and minds, God, help us to be good stewards on purpose with the truths we've been blessed with this whole short time together. Lord, help us to be on the edge of our seat as such for tomorrow. Can't waiting to be under one more time under the sound of the Word of God. And Lord, we just, if we need to respond to the invitation, help us respond to the invitation. We need to come down as a husband and wife and make a recommitment in our marriage relationship. Oh God, what a great thing to do, and what a good example to set for the kids and other couples who are struggling that need to see that unity. They need to see that passion, that compassion, that wow love relationship. God, not in a dorky way or weird people out, but an obvious affection one to another. You know, sarcasm, Lord, is a whole other session we could preach on as far as relationships, but sometimes it just covers up a relationship that's not the way it's supposed to be and not real good for communication. I'm good at it, as you know, Lord. So, Lord, help us to sort all this stuff through, and if we need to, again, go and have a little powwow time with each other, but maybe have a powwow time with the kids and seek their forgiveness and utter those real difficult words, hey, we were wrong, and we want to ask your forgiveness. We haven't been the mommy and daddy an example we're supposed to be. And Lord, maybe go again to pastor and say, Pastor, I've just not been we haven't been the team, the group, the workers that we should be and really could have been. But Lord, we got that right now in our hearts, and we want to encourage you that we're ready to dig in and get it done. So Lord, I don't know what depth and degree you're doing in all the minds and hearts here, but God, help us to not be hesitant to respond tenderly and again, thankfully to your working in our hearts. We love you, Lord. We praise you again for this time, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.